Welcome to This Fringy Life, a series of podcasts about the 2010 Vancouver International Fringe Festival, celebrating spontaneous, surprising, and remarkable pieces of theater. This Fringy Life is produced by CITR 101.9 FM and is available on the web at CITR.ca and VancouverFringe.com.
Hello, I'm Adam Janusz, host of the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM, and this is the first episode of This Fringy Life for the 2010 Vancouver Fringe Festival. Over the course of this series, we'll explore BC's biggest theater festival from all angles: the artists, the organizers, volunteers, festival goers, and beyond. To get us started, here's Arts Report correspondent Nick Sartori.
In this first episode of This Fringy Life, I had a chance to speak with Fringe Executive Director David Jordan. Now, David and I spoke last week. It was Thursday, September 9th. That date is important because it was the first day of the Fringe. So obviously David and the rest of the staff were busy getting everything going. But David also shared his thoughts about how the first day is sort of like Christmas morning. Or, of course, how David puts it, Fringemas. So I'm joined now by Fringe Executive Director David Jordan. Thanks for taking the time today, David.
Hey, Nick.
So, today is the day. We're talking today. It's Thursday the 9th. It's the first day of the Fringe. How are you feeling?
Good. I've just come up with this new concept. It's called Fringemas Day.
Okay.
So that's what today is now, because it's forever. Fringemas Day. So it's like, it really is like Christmas. So yeah, all these presents under the tree that you get to start opening.
Cool.
So, and it's also like Christmas in that it's like, there's like 12 days of, 12 days of Fringemas.
Fringemas, I like
counting the opening that we did the other night. So yeah.
And how was the opening? What were some highlights from the opening?
It was crazy because we did some things that we'd never done before. So we had David C. Jones, who's really, this amazing improviser and funny man, and he does the world's most dramatic silent auction you've ever seen. So we may not raise the most money, but like the people that are in the room have the most fun because
right.
he makes them do things while they're bidding, So if somebody bids $500, then everyone has to faint and stuff like that,
Oh, it's, great, okay.
It's really fun. So
it's fringe-orific, would you say?
Yeah, it's fringe-tabulous.
Fringe-tabulous, excellent. So today, one of the things that I think always surprises me when talking to people about the Fringe is that there's not a whole lot of people who work on the Fringe year-round. I think one of the things that surprises people is that there are only a few people, but then, of course, they ask me the question, so if it's not, September when the festival's happening, what do you guys do? So what's Fringe life like when the Fringe isn't happening?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? That's the most frequent question that I get about my job. It's like, so you do this year-round.
Yeah.
I think they think it's like some type of Miracle-Gro thing where, the festival just pops up all of a sudden. But yeah, there's tons of work that happens year-round. And, you need that downtime to think about what just happened and come up with changes, to make a little tiny change. We're a very small organization that does a very big thing. So that's our challenge, right? It's like that... Mm-hmm. We're a small organization that does big things. So when you change something small, you really have to be thorough about how you change it because then come September, then like 700 people are going to try and implement that little change you made. It better be well explained and thorough and thought out and all that type of stuff. So
what are some of those big changes this year, in the Fringe in 2010 from 2009 that people can expect?
No. I said little changes.
Oh, little changes. So they're subtle. They're going to fly under the radar. Is what you're saying?
They usually are little changes, right? They're
gotcha.
Like little box office policy changes that really help or something. But
sure.
So what are people going to see this year that they haven't seen before? I don't know. We like increased the size of the festival by 25% or something this year. So we have 82 shows.
Wow.
617 performances. So.
I couldn't help but noticing that the BYOVs was, the Bring Your Own Venue series was quite a bit larger than it's been in past years as well. What is there, I think up to 30 this year shows?
It's at 30, yeah, so I don't know what we were thinking, but But hey, you asked like what's like what are the some of the changes that you will see. Okay, so here's one of the ones that you won't see, and we were talking a little bit about like okay, like the behind the scenes, the staff, you know, how that comes together. And so one of the changes that we made was we added a bunch of people. We thought like, oh, well, we usually do this with, we have two staff to run the volunteer department. What if we had like five or six staff? We thought that would be really cool. We can't afford that. So we did this. We just asked people if they would work for free.
Wow.
And they did. You know, like we always get these people like, there's usually some international people like that contact us in the winter and they say, hey, I'm coming on a work visa. Can I work for you? I love festivals, or I've worked at the Edinburgh Fringe, or I'm a theater, you know, student in Italy. And, you know, so they're always slightly random, but they just say, you know, I want to be there, and they always mean it. And so sometimes we don't know what to do with those people. And this year we just said, well, let's just like make them like staff. So we've got like three people that have been working in the volunteer department now since June for free.
Wow. Awesome.
That's great. Every time a pay period comes around, I try and say extra thanks. But I mean, I'm just blown away by the fact that those people come and they really do, like they care about, they're... It's not the, you know, it's not the glory work either. Like, they're not, you know, they're doing the behind the scenes.
Right.
They really like working with volunteers, other volunteers. And, they really care about the idea of putting on a festival, like making something.
And I'm sure that's great, too, for the, you know, that I'm sure that does good things for the volunteer and staff dynamic. Because then obviously working, when you're working with, say, 20, 30 staff, but then you've got, you know, 500 volunteers, then, you know, then that's great to build up that volunteer base, too, right?
Yeah, well, and I think too, you know, like in terms of staff, you can't be a slacker if you look at the person next to you and you go, wow, that person's not getting paid.
Exactly.
I gotta raise the bar here.
Sure.
So it's really a beautiful, you know, sort of family dynamic. You know, I used to just toss that word around, even like fringe family, but yeah, really, it's for real.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was Fringe Executive Director David Jordan, sharing his thoughts about the first day of the Fringe, Fringemas Day. And of course, now we're into the 12 days of Fringemas. Hopefully you had a chance to check out some shows. Thanks again to David for taking the time last week to join me on what was surely a very busy time in the Fringe office to share some of his thoughts there. David and I also spoke briefly after the interview about how to pick shows, because I know that's a very popular question that people are always asking Fringe staff. David recommends that you come with friends, come in a group, and just pick something that you think works for you. Take a chance. It's theater for everyone at the Fringe. This Fringy Life is produced by CITR 101.9 FM and distributed online at www.citr.ca.